going to talk just a little bit this morning on the thought about heaven. Well, as we begin, do you remember as a child thinking about heaven? I don't know. Maybe if you weren't in a home that was saved, you didn't. But how many of you came from a home that taught about the Lord? You went to church? Let me see your hand. All right. So some of you did. And if you did, do you remember when you was a kid thinking about heaven as a child? You heard it preached about, talked about, church, and so on and so forth. Did you ever hope there would be horses in heaven? Oh, I just hope there's horses in heaven. Or is Lassie going to be there? I remember we had a dog named Lassie. My sister would always ask my mom and dad, hey, is Lassie going to be in heaven? You know, we always wanted to make sure the doggie was in heaven. Or maybe, you know, some of you live closer to Cedar Point. Are there going to be roller coasters in heaven? You know, people want to know all kinds of stuff like that. Some of you, is there going to be pizza in heaven? Well, I want to know, is that manna or what? You know, that author, I had a book up here the other day, Bill Adler. Bill Adler went to a classroom with some kids, and he wanted to find out what they thought about death and heaven. Their responses, I think, are so delightful. I love kids' responses. I've given this to you 3 or 4 or 5 times, maybe over the course of my ministry here, where kids have talked to somebody about an important issue. And so they were asked about death, and they were asked about, hey, it's good to see Dosie's young ladies back there. Brandon and Athena, good to see you. Didn't even know you was here, but there they are. Ah, amen. All right. Anyway, he wrote about that and got into little children's idea and in their imagination about what the world was like and death and heaven and so on and so forth. And so Marcia, she's only 9, she said, when you die, you don't have to do homework. In heaven, unless your teacher goes there. Raymond, he's 10. Raymond said, a good doctor can help you so you won't die. A bad doctor sends you to heaven. Jimmy, 8. When you die, they bury you in the ground and your soul goes to heaven. But your body can't go to heaven because it's too crowded up there already. And then Judy, I thought this was a good one. Judy, she's age 9. Only the good people go to heaven. The other people go where it's hot all the time, like in Florida. sneak little peek previews of young people. I love it, don't you? We smile at that, you know, child's view of heaven or what heaven might be. But is our view much better? No human can fully grasp, I don't think, what heaven is really like. It almost, now listen, it almost seems like a fairy tale to be as good as the Bible says it is. I mean, knowing what we have here, we think, a street of gold, walls of jasper, gates, each gate a pearl. I've never seen a pearl that big. The beauties of heaven, it almost seems like it can't be really real. I mean, the splendor, it goes far beyond our earthly understanding. However, there is one aspect of glory that we can begin to understand. Heaven is a place for people of every race, every culture, every color, and every age. In fact, heaven is a place for everybody. Say the verse again one more time. John 3:16. Say it to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Wow. God loves, listen, everybody, it might be a shock. God loves the entire world. He doesn't love just Americans in America. He doesn't love just people like ourselves. He loves the world. And whoever believes in the crucified Son of God, regardless of nationality, will have everlasting life, according to Scripture. Now, sometimes, though we think that God is interested only in people who talk and act the way we do, I'm sorry, that's not so. Sometimes we get this idea is you have to dress like I dress and have your hair like I have my hair, and you have to look like I look, and you can't wear jewelry like I don't wear jewelry, and on and on. And we say, that's whom God loves. No, 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 no. God loves the entire world. He loves that guy who's all tattooed up and down his arm, up and down his legs. He likes all that one who has piercings everywhere. God loves everybody. And the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, that's an amazing truth. But we make everybody look like us. Act like us if they're going to go to our heaven. Well, it's not your heaven. It's God's heaven. So he's not only interested in people who talk and act and think the way we do. That's just not so. You see, we need to see the world as God sees it and catch a shining glimpse of the true heaven. So let's start right there. I have three Roman numerals and I'll be finished. One is simply this: salvation, an offer for all. Now, we already know what earth is like, don't we? Earth, our earth, take a look, is full of hatred, greed, and sin. Our world is full of hatred, greed, and sin. Just look at the news reports every single day. It's unbelievable. Because we have rebelled against God, we live under a sentence of death. In such a state, how can anybody go to heaven? Well, John shows us the way in 1 John chapter 2 now, verse 1 and 2, where he lays the foundation of God's redemptive relationship with our world. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Moved by love, you see, God offered his son on the cross of Calvary, and Jesus himself became, such a big word, propitiation, we say. That is, that word simply means please, the pleasing sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath against sin. That's what that word actually means. Well, John Stott took it a little further, and he said it is an appeasement of the wrath of God by the love of God through the gift of God. Now, listen to this. The initiative is not taken by man, nor even by Christ, but by God himself in sheer unmerited love. He became the propitiation for our sins, but not ours only, listen everybody, but for the sins of the whole world. Not just for independent fundamental Baptists, but for the entire world. Get out of those religions, if you will, and just serve the Lord Jesus. He died for everybody. That's what the Word of God teaches us. With the barrier of judgment removed, God now opens wide his arms. And what he simply does is bid all the people to come in faith and be cleansed by the blood. In fact, look at chapter 1, verse number 7 of 1 John. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now notice what the blood does. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us, woo, from all sin. Isn't that powerful? That's wonderful. We walk together, and as we walk, the blood continually, the blood just continually cleanses us. It continually cleanses us from all sin. Go to John chapter 12, verse 32. As Jesus announced, God's offer of salvation is wonderfully inclusive. Here's the inclusiveness. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw, everybody, will draw, how many? All men unto me. Our world is in a bad shape this morning. And there's a lot of people who are haters. And people who are haters do things that people who hate do. And it's not nice. But Jesus died for them too. All those knuckleheads, excuse my term, that are rioting in the streets of America. Drop it, guys. We got the president. Forget it. Why the stupid riots? Drop it. Be done with it already. But he loves them too. He does. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, also expressed God's generous heart for the world. This is for the world now, please. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Who does he want to be saved? All men. All men. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. How many does God want to have perish? How many does God want to have perish? None. How many does God want to have perish? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto. You know, it's our job as a church then to preach about repentance, because that's what the Bible says. God wants everybody, that all should come to repentance. That word repentance means to turn yourself around. Believe in the Lord Jesus. The word all chimes in these verses like a liberty bell ringing out to every single nation, every culture, every person. It penetrates through racial barriers and crosses ethnic lines. It resounds through the palaces of kings, echoes through the poorest ghettos. In every language and every dialect, God shouts off to humankind his offer: eternal life to all who believe. And it doesn't make any difference who you are, where you live, what color you are. He's out to save everybody. Amen. Heaven. My second point. Heaven. A multicultural scene. To fully appreciate the scope of salvation, I think we must look somehow beyond earth's divisions and our prejudices and study the realities of God's heavenly kingdom. John's vision, the book of Revelation. Now, I'm going to have a ton of verses here. You won't be able to find them in your Bible quickly enough. I have to go too fast. But they'll be on the screen, I promise you. Don will get them up there. But you've got to see this. It's a wonderful little study in the book of Revelation that I dearly love. I love this little study. But to fully appreciate, we have to get past earth's divisions, the prejudices. Study these realities. John's vision, the book of Revelation, serves as our telescope, kind of, giving us a spectacular view of the throne room of God. It almost seems like it's not real, but it is. Keep in mind that these scenes aren't the imaginations now of a little dinky child or the speculations of a theologian. They are revelations of our glorified Savior given to him, given to John by God himself. In fact, go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. We'll start right there and let me prove that this all came from God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, watch, which God gave. Hey, who gave it? It says it right there. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now we know how we got it. All came from the word of God. Now go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. And let me just for a moment just be able to read for you verses 1 through 6. After this I looked. I love this story. Here's the rapture. And behold, a door was opened in heaven, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither. I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Each of these creatures had 6 wings. And day and night their voices thundered through heaven. Look at verse number 8, please. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. Then John saw the 24 elders fall before God. Verse number 11 and verse number 10, and cast their crowns at his feet in humble worship. And they cry out, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And they took their crowns. Hey, who are those folks that are wearing the crowns? The crowns are only promised, ladies and gentlemen, to born again children of God who are saved and born again and have come through with the power of God on their life, and they're saved. Those are the same people who we are. They represent us. We're sitting there with our crowns ready to cast them at his feet. Those 24 elders are us. It's a picture of us sitting there in heaven. Holy, 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 the angels are saying. We take their crowns and we cast them before the throne. Verse number 11. Thou art worthy, we say, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You saw these 24 elders fall down before God, cast their crowns at his feet. They cried out. As the vision continues in chapter 5 now, we go to chapter 5. It builds momentum like a swelling wave, and it's verses 1 through 4. And I want you to see the swelling wave. And I saw the right hand. I saw in the right hand of him that sat. Hey, by the way, who is it that's sitting on the throne? Somebody tell me, who is that one that's sitting on the throne? It's God himself. It's God himself. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. That's God. A book written within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book, to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. In the throne room of heaven, where all the folks are saying, holy, 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 thou art worthy. God holds a book. It's a book of 7 seals. The proclaiming angel goes about proclaiming, who's worthy? Who's worthy to open that book? And as they looked and as they searched and as they looked everywhere, trying to find somebody worthy to open this book, there was nobody found in heaven nor in earth, nowhere. They couldn't find anybody that was worthy to open the book. The book contains the judgments of God, with which he will bring justice to the world. No wonder John weeps. He did. He wept. If the seals remain unbroken, all hope for justice is lost. If no one is worthy to open the book, everything's lost. Behold it. Look at verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, you got to tell me who this is. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. One of the elders said, hold it. Hold it, John, don't weep. There is somebody. There is somebody who's worthy to open the book of the seven sealed judgment. There is somebody. Who is it? It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. Who is the root of David? Jesus. Look at verse number 6 now. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of four beasts, in the midst of the elders, who is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? Now, if you didn't know who it was in verse number 5, you got to know who it is in verse number 6. Come on, amen. If you didn't understand who it was in verse 5, you got to know who it is in verse number 6. A lamb, as he stood, had been slain. Who was the lamb? Oh, man, I'm about ready to shout. Who was the lamb that was slain for the remission of sin? Who was it? Jesus. There's no doubt, everybody, as there is no doubt who this is, who is coming forward to take the book out of God, who sits on the throne. Here's the Lamb standing before God. That's why I know there's not a oneness in this whole thing. There's three people, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God, because one's sitting and one's standing, and the Holy Spirit is there. Woo, boy, bless God. There's some time for preaching right now. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, to the Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Who is this that's worthy to open the sealed book? His name is Jesus. Wow. Wow. What a story. He's going to come and open our book. He's called the Lion, yet pictured as a slain lamb that has come back to life. This figure can't be anybody else except Jesus. Look at John chapter 1, verse 29. It'll be on the screen. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, there it is, behold, the Lamb of God. Take away the sin of the world. I'm just trying to prove to you, he is the Lamb. I said, he is the Lamb. Amen. What about this verse? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Doesn't that match what we just said in Revelation? Don't you like it when the Bible completes itself? Look at Revelation now, chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, I want you to notice something, everybody. This is such a great theological thing. Can somebody get me some water real quick? My mouth is dry as it can be.
That's good preaching.
I hope so, brother. Thank you, Joe. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. 24 elders who earlier offered their praise to God now bow before the Lord. Look at verse 9 and 10. And they sung a new song. By the way, the only ones who can sing a new song are those who have been redeemed. And that's why those 24 elders represent us. They're a picture of us because they sing a new song. They're redeemed. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Thank you, sweetheart. I hate doing this, so help me, I do. Sorry. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Look at verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You see who those people are? One day you and I are going to reign on this planet earth. Amen. It's all right there. Powerful. Before him, all people stand on level ground. Men, women, boys and girls, young and old, rich and poor. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, the Apostle Paul explained that to us. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. during the Olympics. And I, by the way, I like the Olympics, I do. But during the Olympics, I always like to watch that closing night when every nation gathers in one stadium. We kind of get a taste of world unity. But nowhere has anyone seen a crowd like the one we're going to see in heaven. Right. Nobody's ever seen a crowd like this. South Africans, whites will link arms with South African blacks, with Serbs. Arabs will link up with Jews. It's going to be amazing. With one voice, the redeemed will be in their song and in their praise of the Savior. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, 12, and 13. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Hey, listen, you might as well get your voice cranked up. He didn't say, and they all whispered. And they all whispered his name. They didn't whisper. And it says, and they all with a loud voice. You see it? Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. Boy, what a day that will be. What a day that's going to be. The start of unending happiness. However, along with joy that we anticipate, we must remember a sobering realization. Not everyone will be there. For not everyone will receive Christ as Savior. This thought then leads me, before I finish, to a couple of very important questions. I want everybody in this room to think about this. I've told you the wonderful story about heaven this morning, one more time. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be very, very honest, I think there are probably some of us in this room will not be there. I don't want to say that. I hope that all of us would be there. But unless you're saved and born again, you will not be there. No matter how good looking you are, no matter how much money you have, no matter how smart you are, if you've never accepted Christ, you will not be there. Now, so let's talk about some questions for us to consider. This is my third and final point. First, I got to ask you a question, everybody. As I look at you and you're looking back at me, will you be there? I want you to be there. I love my church here. This is a tremendous group of people. But I tell you what, I love you so much, I want you to be in heaven with me. I'm going to heaven. I decided that at 13 years of age, that was a good idea. And I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Now, I've not been perfect all my life. I've certainly not. I've made some real blunders in my life. But I've been saved. And I know it. And I'm going to heaven. Are you going to be with me? When we get up there, we ought to sing some of these old songs we sang at Harvest when we get up there, you know, and just have a good time. I hope you're there. But I don't know, see, I don't know the souls of men. Young boys, young women, middle-aged folks, old. I don't know. You've got to make that decision today. Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Some people give the excuse to me that Christianity is a Western religion. I don't believe in that stuff. Jesus is not for me. He's for the ones over in Europe or wherever, but not for me. But our glimpse into heaven proves that Jesus belongs to the world, not just to the Americas and not just to the Europeans and not just to the Asians. Jesus died for the world. Not just the West. That's why Gino goes everywhere putting Christian radio stations in. He believes the same thing I do, that Jesus died for the world. Well, why spend the time trying to get the message out to the world if it's not really worth it? If he's not going to do it, if he's not going to save them? No, he'll save everybody. He wants to. I've already told you that. So, our glimpse into heaven proves that Jesus belongs to the world, then, doesn't it? Does he belong to you? Does he belong to you? One more thing. If you are a Christian, now if you are, do you share Christ's mindset? I want to ask you something. Do you share the mindset of Christ? Forget about me. Don't say, well, Pastor, I don't have your mindset. Don't worry about me. My mindset's not what you're basing on. What you need to base everything you do on is, do you have the mindset of Christ? Now you say, well, I don't know what the mindset is. Well, that's why you read this. It tells you what the mindset is. Now, most of us know, we just don't do what we know. For whatever silly reasons, we don't do what we're supposed to do. But there's the mindset. Now, do you have the mindset of Christ? Do you share Christ's mind? It's easy to settle into a circle of friends who all look like us, talk like us, and then forget about the world at the doorstep, forget about the people next door who don't know Christ. Without realizing it, we turn our backs on the people that we should be talking to, but we don't talk to them. We exclude them from our lives for whatever reason. Now, stepping out of those circles sounds sometimes risky, but it's the only way that the people of the world are going to hear the gospel. You see, so my question is this, are you willing to go across the aisle? You see, there might be somebody in church services who are not saved, and you don't know whether they are or not. To me, it doesn't bother me one little bit. If you see there's somebody here and you don't know if they're saved or not, and they're a guest, or you've not seen them before, they may have been here for a while, it's not wrong for you to go up and say, listen, do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Why are you asking me that for? Well, I'm just concerned about the people in our church. I want to make sure you're saved. If they get mad, what are they going to get mad at? Because you ask them whether they're saved or not? Let them get mad. You might save them from hell. I mean, we're too touchy. Oh, that really offended me. Oh, get over it. Jeez. Goodness sakes. We're concerned about your soul. There's a reality here. Can we go across the street in our neighborhood? Can we go across the town? Can we go to the next town? Are we ready to go to the next state? Well, our missions program gets us out there because we're supposed to be, according to the Word of God, the light of the world. We've been hearing sermons about the light. Are you ready to get out there and do that? It's a great way of bringing a little bit of heaven down to earth. Now I'm done with this. What about your family? Are you afraid to talk to them because they'll get mad at you? Are you really ready to talk to them in 2017 about knowing the Lord Jesus? What about your neighbors who doesn't know Christ? Is your family saved? You know, there's a reality. It doesn't sometimes seem like it's real. Sometimes it almost seems like it's out there in the peripheral, kind of. Ooh, I don't know if I can believe all that. Holy, holy, holy stuff. But it's true. Now, here you are today. You have a chance to make a decision. I don't know whether you're saved or not, but you do. You know whether you have accepted Jesus Christ or not. If you haven't, I'm going to give you a time. Musicians, would you quickly come, please? Let's have an altar service and ask God to really help us today. Maybe there's somebody here who does not know the Lord. Heaven is real. I've given you the scriptures. I've given you tons of scriptures to look at. I've read them in your presence. It's been a powerful little set of studies, hasn't it? But are you ready? Do you know him? And you know, somebody said, well, I've been up there I don't know how many times, Pastor. It's embarrassing for me to go back and make sure again. Why is it embarrassing? It would be embarrassing if he said to you, depart from me, I never knew you. That one day would be embarrassing. This is nothing. This is asking you to come as Christians who are not real sure about you're on fire for him. I'm not living like I should, Pastor. I know I need to come and talk to God. Come and talk to him. Let's stand together, shall we?